The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I'm not going to pray because you're going to do whatever you want anyways. Sure. That was what came out of me.
Yeah.
I'm not proud there. Of it. Yeah. Not proud. Like,
no, but, I've been there, right, and I think many people have.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I just felt like, what is the point?
Right. Yeah.
When you're just going to do whatever you want, so I'm just going to sit here and let you do whatever you want, but it's just not fair, you know?
Faith Yuri Cho shares how her friendship with God was strengthened through a season of pain. Next.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. It's great to be back with you again. You know what I love about this show is that I get to meet some incredible people, Randy.
Yeah.
Really
yeah,
good. Yes, incredible people that I think in my walk with the Lord has helped me so much growing spiritually. Mm. Even some topics sometimes that I would pass over, gloss over, or think like, I'm good in that area of my life. And then we bring on a guest and think, I'm not so good in that area of my life. I need to learn more. And then they teach us so much. And such is our guest today. Faith Yuri Cho is here with us, and she has a brand new book out. I think it's her first, called Experiencing Friendship with God, How the Wilderness Draws Us to His Presence. What a great book this is, Faith, and what a great girl you are. I'm so happy to meet you and talk to you. So we don't always have a lot of time, so let's mm-hmm. dive right in.
Yes.
Tell me the reason you felt like it was so important for me to know the presence of God and to recognize the presence of God in my
right.
life.
Right. I think now more than ever, we want people and the church even just to be revived and at the center of what God has called us to be in. However, especially from 2020 and on, we have noticed almost an exodus of people leaving the church, leaving the faith. And it was all for this reason that revealed that we were living for the promised land. We were living for our breakthrough. We were living for our healing. We were living for our promotions. Mm. And when those things were not around and we did not see proof of our faith, it almost gave us an excuse to leave God. It almost gave us an excuse to resign ourselves in our trusting in the Lord and in a way just play the part. And basically, the purpose of this book is to say that if the purpose of our lives is to build a friendship with the Lord that is intimate, authentic, and passionate, then not even the wilderness seasons could take us away from Jesus.
The wilderness seasons. You went there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go there. Why does God allow wilderness seasons? Why do we have to go through them? I mean, I think I know in my own life, it's been so much about preparation, like preparing me for something more. So why do you think God allows us beyond that to go through these seasons?
Right. I believe that as long as we are on this side of heaven, there's always going to be a wilderness season. As long as we live on this time in redemptive history where there are consequences for sin, we are going to go through wilderness seasons. Now, how we experience those wilderness seasons will be up to us. I think people thought, well, God, why did you just throw the Israelites into the wilderness after Egypt? Why go from slavery into wilderness? Why can't you just cut them a break? But the thing is, the Israelites did not know God as a friend. They did not have a relationship with God as Moses did. So during their time in the wilderness, although the things that they may have wanted was hidden from them, God was actually revealing himself to them. And if the purpose of our lives, like I said, is for the building of a genuine relationship with God, then that would be enough. That would be such a beautiful thing. It's so interesting because I remember talking to one of my mentors at one point in my life saying, I just want out.
Really?
I just want out of this wilderness. And I don't understand why God just won't make it easy. Why does he cause me to go through things? Why can't he just give me a message via email or a text, like teach it to me nicely? Like, why do I have to go through all these things? And he reminded me all the most beautiful stories that we celebrate in Christian tradition is actually in the wilderness. When you look throughout the Bible, people celebrate the parting of the sea. People marvel at the manna from the sky. Why? Because these are demonstrations, manifestations of the goodness of his presence. And it's so good when we hear about it for other people, but for us, we're like, no, but I would rather have the promotion, God. I'd rather have this miracle, God, you know? Yes. And this is not to say that it's bad to want these things, because when we are in a loving relationship with the Lord, we can expect blessings because he is a good father. However, the purpose of our lives is not to pursue the blessings of God, but it's actually to pursue God himself. And then welcome the blessings.
Absolutely. You talk about the presence of God. So I think a starting point probably would also be we need to have a clear understanding of what the presence of God is.
Yes.
And what does that mean? For someone that says often like the person that might say, I don't feel God.
Yes.
What would you even say to them? Like what practically would you say?
Yes.
Like, how can we dive into like, I want to know the presence of God, but I don't. How do I get there?
Oh, I love that. Well, first of all, I would like to say that God is everywhere, right? And, you know, when people are like, how can you go to God when God is everywhere? And what do we mean by the presence of God? And there's a lot of songs too that say, we're waiting for you, Lord, or show up, God.
So is he not here then if I'm waiting for him? Or is he here? Are you waiting on me?
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes because we don't fully understand it, we relegate it to just poetry. Like we just think it's just positive poetry that we think about at church.
Yes.
When actually, when we say the presence of God, this is such a theologically rich concept that I feel like if we just take time to solidify this in our hearts and in our minds, that this could radically change the way we relate with him. Because just as God is everywhere, he has wanted to be relationally accessible. And we see this from Genesis to Revelation. If God did not want to be relationally accessible to us, then the Bible would have ended at Genesis 3. And he would have been like, all right, start over, right? But the fact that we just keep messing it up, pushing him away, falling, running away, hiding, choosing shame over intimacy. We do all these things. But the reason why there's so many books in the Bible is because it is a testament of how God is constantly pursuing, speaking, protecting, guiding, loving on us. And the fact that he came as Jesus, and then Jesus had to die so that the Holy Spirit could be within us. It just shows that it's just been a never-ending pursuit of closeness. So for anybody that's discouraged as to feel as though they're not spiritual enough, or that there's this huge chasm between us and God, the cross closed that chasm. So now we don't have to beg for God. We don't have to chase God. We don't have to earn God. But now by the blood of Jesus, we could acknowledge God. He is a breath away. So even now, as I'm talking to you, I'm acknowledging the presence of God. It's like when you grocery shop with a loved one. You know, like when I'm shopping with my children, although I'm thinking about what I'm doing, I'm also aware of their presence.
Good.
You know, after many years of marriage, you grow to have an awareness of your spouse, just being around, even just my husband's footsteps. I know where he is. I know what he's feeling. He could just be breathing and I know how he feels. It's just this growing awareness of his presence that we could practice. And when we practice it, we realize that we do not have to go and find the most holy place, because the most holy place is wherever we acknowledge the presence of God.
So good. It's so good. I think a season in my life where I walked through loss, I remember standing on the edge of the water and instantly talking to Jesus, instantly asking God to make himself known to me in real. And the very things I prayed for faith was like, I wanted to know the presence of God.
Yes.
Because I knew that everything was changing around me. Things were shifting, changing. I felt a heaviness. I was broken. I was sad. I didn't understand what was going on, trying to find the hand of God in it. But I remember specifically praying, God, I need to feel you right now.
Yes.
It was the one thing that steadied my world. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the question for me is, if all you had was the presence of God, is it enough, Tammy?
Oh,
is it enough? How do we help people to get to that place of understanding? Like, look, if the prayer is an answer today.
Yes.
If you're going through a tough time and it's just you've been in that wilderness for so long, maybe find a place where you just feel like the presence of God. You've got to get to that place that the presence of God is enough.
Yes.
We bypass the beauty and the importance and the power in the presence of God.
So good. Now, can I be real? So as a preacher, I mean, I'm a preacher. I've been preaching since I was 17 years old. And something that I've always preached was that the presence of God is weightier than the pain. Now, that's something that I've always preached.
Wow.
I remember I went through a very heavy wilderness season in 2020 when my family and I, we were church planting during the pandemic. That wasn't the plan, but it became the plan. And we lost basically everything within a week. Mm. We were even near homeless, like a 1 week away from being homeless with four children and dogs. And it was just like a whole thing. And I remember the amount of pain and fear that I was going through. And I remember my friends telling me, oh, I'll pray for you. Mm. Or God is with you. My honest confession in those moments was, that is not enough. Mm. That was just my honest confession. Mm. And I was almost ashamed to admit that, because as a preacher, this was just my moment to shine and I could talk about it later. But in that moment, I remember telling God, I don't need people's prayers. I need a paycheck.
Yes,
you know,
I know.
And I don't have a song to sing. Mm. I don't have a prayer to pray. And right now, it just does not feel like it's enough. Now, when I look back, My heart is always just overwhelmed with gratitude, because when I look back, I could feel God being there in that moment. But in that moment, I did not feel that. The thing that I felt the Lord inviting me to do in those moments was welcoming my honesty, because pain reveals our true theology of God's presence. Mm-hmm. Pain takes away the traditions, takes away everything that we have been trained to do, everything that culture has raised us to do, and it reveals our true faith. The quality of our trust in Him is revealed. The wilderness does not change us, it reveals us. And in that moment, the quality of my faith was being revealed. In that moment, I realized I have this much faith and I'm going through this much pain. What do we do with that chasm, with that disparity? We sit in His presence and we give Him our honesty and He gives us Himself.
Mm. Absolutely.
Mm, that's good. That's good. You know, I think it was Mike Tyson that said, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. I may be butchering it, but the idea of...
That
happens, right?
That sounds terrible. Mercy. I don't want to get punched in the mouth.
Right. Well, none of us do, literally or figuratively.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people, they, especially those of us who have grown up in the church,
yes,
and we mean it. We believe it.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you're there. You've got the unanswered prayer.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you've got these spiritual longings that just don't seem to ever be satisfied. Mm. That wilderness experience. And you go, and part of me theologically wants to go, but Jesus, you died on the cross, so I don't have to suffer now, right? You know?
Yes.
And I think there's some truth in that. Mm. But when someone's in that season of, God, where are you?
Right.
You know, I just lost a loved one.
Yeah.
You went through an experience, you know, with one of your children that was a test.
Yes.
You know, the platitudes, like you said, you know, we want that tangible thing. Mm-hmm. We want to sit in the presence. But man, for that person that's there right now, how do we minister to them the most effectively?
Yes. I think being real about what they're going through and being real about God. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes in the fear of offending somebody that's hurt, in a way we feel like there's only room for their pain. But also we have to be real about God, right? And we have to be real about both. I remember, so I have four kids, and when my second born was born, there was just a lot of drama around his birth experience. We were not expecting him to come out early. We were not expecting him to have issues and go into the ICU. I mean, and I have all these trained protocols within me. Okay, if something happens like that, you pray, you gather the saints, you fast, you right. you know, do all these things. Sure. And man, people were praying, but I felt like the more we prayed, the worse it was getting.
Wow.
That's how I felt, okay. you know? And I mean, people came into the hospital room, surrounded my bed and surrounded us in prayer. And then the next hour, a doctor or a nurse would tell us he's getting worse, he's declining.
Oh my goodness.
And we added an antibiotic, we added another breathing machine, we added this and that. And I remember around the third day thinking, I'm not gonna pray. Because you're going to do whatever you want anyways. Sure. That was what came out of me.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it. Yeah. Not proud.
Like, no, but I've been there, and I think many people have.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I just felt like, what is the point?
Right.
When you're just going to do whatever you want, so I'm just going to sit here and let you do whatever you want, but it's just not fair, you know? And I remember I felt this unction in my heart to give thanks. Oh, and oh my goodness, that was the last thing I wanted to do. Yeah. You know, when you're in a hospital bed and your innocent son is going through something that's beyond your control and you're just bombarded, just constantly bombarded with bad news. And it almost is, it feels offensive that you're called to give thanks. And perhaps that's why it's a sacrifice of praise, right? It's a sacrifice. But I felt it in my spirit, that whisper from the Lord, give thanks, give thanks. And so I reluctantly got my journal out and I just started to write a list. And man, I was, my attitude was just not there. I was like, thank you for this day, whatever. You know, I was just writing it out. But I remember around the 20-minute mark, my heart started to thaw. And around the 40-minute mark, my awareness of his nearness, I was just weeping. And it's interesting because while I was writing the list of Thanksgiving, even during that time, a nurse came in and said, you know, here are the numbers, it's not looking good. But I remember I just kept on going because up until this point, I thought giving thanks was just ignoring the wilderness. I thought we were just being naive and that it's just Christians telling us to just be optimistic about life and blindly so. And I thought it was just a call for us to ignore everything that's bad, when actually the call to give thanks is a call to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And it just started to inundate my whole being with his nearness, with an awareness his nearness. It's all about that awareness. It's so interesting because so much of what happens in scripture starts with what we choose to look at. You know, it's from Genesis 3. It starts with what we choose to look at. And Thanksgiving is just choosing to gaze upon Jesus. And I cannot even say that it was just a physical or a spiritual or just an emotional or a mental experience. It was a fully embodying experience of just knowing he is with me. And it was well with my soul.
Absolutely.
It was well. My cup was overflowing. Yes. And perhaps it is because we weren't created just to get whatever we want here on earth. We were created to know him. We were created to be in friendship with him. And when that is in place, all is well. You know, and it's not to say all is perfect.
Right.
Yeah. But all is well in our soul.
Might not be well with my circumstances, but somehow it can be well with my soul.
Absolutely.
It's interesting. I think a lot of times we think of Thanksgiving as God needing to hear how great he is. Which is... just wrong. And in that situation, I don't think he was getting, he's like, you need to be thankful, you know, because I'm just that great. Thanksgiving's almost for us.
Absolutely.
To change our perspective.
Absolutely.
To help us. There's so much here, and I've got more notes, but Tammy, I think I think people need to just request the book today.
Seriously, it's
right?
So good, Randy. Honestly, and look, we want to send you this book. If you're able to come alongside us today in this great mission that we have, we want to get this book in your hands. But first, I want you to take a minute and watch this mission that we are so, so passionate about.
How many children do you have?
I have 5 children, but one of them is dead, so I remain with 4.
Left with 4. I'm so sorry. I don't understand all of the things that happen physiologically, but the mother recognizes the same signs in her 9-month-old that she saw in her 1.5-year-old son before he died. This is the urgency that we're facing right now. This is the reality in places just like this. They need clean water, and they need it now. If someone was able to bring clean water to your village, what would you say to that person? If this little one has any hope for a future, we have to provide an alternative, because drinking this water is death. We want to give mothers like this hope for their children. I'm asking you to reach out and give the best gift you can. Support Mission Water for Life, and know that when you do, you will be helping little ones just like this. We have a choice today. Those hands that hold those small children can be used to bury that child. And unfortunately, that is the case. But those hands can also clap with joy. And they will do it when you and I come together and we go into those places of desperation and we drill that water well and we bring clean, life-giving water out of God's ground, and it turns those situations around. We've done this in so many places with your support. You've made it possible, but there are still places where children are dying, and that's why the need is urgent. We need to go in there right now, as soon as possible, and give them the water. And Tammy, we have seen this, so we know it works, but we also, you have seen the need. We know it's desperate.
Yeah, it's heavy, Randy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when I see a piece like that too, and you sitting right next to her, it makes my heart happy in the moment to know that you had a moment to minister to her and just love on her and her family. I think that's one thing I love so much about our ministry too, is the ministry that happens, the
yeah.
love that we get to share with these incredible families that are hurting so desperately. They need hope. And I don't want to give them a false hope by going into those villages and just hugging them for a moment and leaving. I want to bring them real hope, something tangible. And we leave there and we tell them, like, we're going to go back and we're going to tell everybody about you. We're going to raise awareness to this need right here that you have. We want you to be filled with joy. We want to be a part of that. And we want you to be a part of that with us today. Would you go online? Would you make a call? Would you give the best gift you possibly can today, even if you've given before? Today's a brand new day, and with it comes a brand new need and another life to save. Would you go online and make that call and join with us today?
Yeah, and we can do it. And you know, yeah. I love, Tammy, that you point out, when we go into these places, we're not under any illusion that we're going to solve the entire
yeah.
issue in
yeah.
the whole world. What we do know is that we're going to go in, we're going to represent Christ to
yes.
somebody. And we're going to show them the love of Christ, and we're also going to meet their basic needs.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is
yeah.
this is more than just, you know, a humanitarian outreach.
Right.
It is a ministry.
Oh, and I love it so much.
And it has more than just a short-term benefit, though it does. It has eternal benefits. Mm-hmm. So will you help us go in spiritually and physically? Let's meet the spiritual needs. Let's meet the practical needs. Your gift right now of $48 will help provide clean drinking water for 10 people. The average cost of a well, you see, is $4,800. So if you want to provide a whole well, come on, let's do it. Let's do it for a village of about 1,000 people for about 70 years. That's why you call it Water for Life. But however you can come in, a gift of $144 will provide clean drinking water for, on average, about 30 people. Whatever you can do, it's about going in with the love of Christ, meeting that practical need, giving them water for their bodies so that they can live, and sharing the water of life with them. So please, join us in this beautiful mission of Christ, Water for Life. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, $72 will provide for 15, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Daughter, written by James and Betty's granddaughter, Lainey Renee. This insightful book invites all girls and women to walk in the freedom of their God-given identity and embrace who they really are. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Great is the Lord decorative blanket, featuring the words of Psalm 145:3. This beautiful blanket is perfect for comfort in cold weather and a reminder of your help with Water for Life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well and request our new bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water, inspired by Jesus' words in Mark 9:41. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
We hope you're going online and giving the best gift you possibly can. It's something we believe so much in, and we would love you to come alongside us. And when you do, make sure that you request Faith Urie Cho's new book, Experiencing Friendship with God. And when you request that, we'll get it right out to you.
Yeah, we'd love to. And you keep using this word. I mean, can we really be friends with God?
Absolutely.
Such good news. Such good
news. By the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, the blood of Jesus is strong. It's effective. Right.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you just need to pick up the book to get some more encouragement on that. When you help us, help others. And we will see you again next time on Life Today.
Bye-bye.
And so I had to go through a season of really understanding what was the voice of trauma and what was the voice of truth.
Are you really okay? Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.